You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, and welcome to the Intern.cast show, the show where the hosts, much like the features we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. That's right, all the other critics out there are rocking out and selling out stadiums while we still play Rock Band on beginner mode. Yep. I am one of your hosts, Leslie, and here with me is my co-host,
TJ.
And here joining us today is the man, the myth, the legend, guest turn, Justin Zarian. Justin, what's up?
Well, thank you very much. I feel very obligated to be reviewing this fine motion picture.
Oh my god, Brad Pitt is here.
He is taking the place of Davey, who is not joining us today because he is probably sleeping as per usual.
Damn it, Davey. Napping bastard.
Hey, we all get tired sometimes, so. But anyways, yes, hi, I'm Justin Zarian. Nice to meet you, everybody.
It's so nice of Brad Pitt to take a break from Staring at Goats to talk to us today. Oh, was he not in Staring at Goats? He was. He was not.
He was not.
That,
I don't know.
That inglorious bastard.
Yeah, right? There you go. Yeah, well, welcome to the show, Justin. For those of you who are new to the site, I don't know why you would start with our show, but welcome. Justin here is the guy that pretty much is like the head intern. He's the guy that sends all the news stories to the Chris's for the weekly. Oh my god, my brain.
The
is
Breakfast
died.
Pub. That's
the
my
breakfast
podcast,
pub.
Man.
I know, my bad. Well, welcome to the show, man. What's been up with you?
Oh, not much. Just been keeping an eye on the notes as usual the news for my notes. I just recorded another review, which I'll pimp out that later at the end of the show. But yeah, doing some good stuff. Just been trying to catch up on TV shows. Been trying to catch up on Twin Peaks because, whew, that's some trippy fun, you know.
Okay, but, yeah. So is this season good or what?
You know, it's the thing with David Lynch is that the answer would be yes for it's good, but it's yes if you like David Lynch stuff, which I'm a David Lynch fan. I like a lot of his movies, but they're an acquired taste because it's all very existential, surreal, postmodern. Stuff where literally anything could either be significantly important or not important at all. You never know for sure in this kind of case.
Hmm.
Yeah, but David otherwise, Lynch, it's a beautifully shot show. Like, it's just gorgeous to watch.
Well, of course. I mean, naturally. Yeah, David Lynch is like, I can't describe him. Like, he's just one of the, I mean, as a film person, you have to study him.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't ever put your finger on him just because he's so versatile in, no matter what he does, it's going to be dramatic, but it's going to be something you haven't seen recently, so that's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing, like, he coined the term Lynchian for a reason, because no one else does what he does in cinema, so.
What if I were to coin the term Zarian, what would that entail?
Fast talking about movies, media, and that stuff nonstop, even when everyone else has left the conversation.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's just what I do. You know, for those who don't know about me also, I'm currently studying for a master's degree in media studies, and I had previously graduated in film studies from my bachelor's degree, and my end goal is ultimately to teach film, actually, like, you know, as a film student kind of thing, so.
That's cool. So, what else have you seen besides Twin Peaks and, you know, books that you've been trying to teach eventually?
Someday. But otherwise, I've been trying to just catch up on a bunch of odd shows, you know, like Better Call Saul, I've been trying to catch up on, and I'm still about like a 3/4 of the way through season 2. And
I have yet to start that show. I know I want to watch it. It's like I'm going to watch it one day. And Leslie here, didn't you do a cameo once on Breaking Bad?
Yes, but they cut me out, so.
Oh, really?
They cut you out?
Well, I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, not from there, but I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico for a long while, and I actually did a couple standby roles and stand-in shots, so it was pretty cool. So I was on their set for a couple times.
Were you one of the dead bodies in the bag at the end of season 2?
No.
Which is the season with the plane?
Oh, for Breaking Bad, yeah. That's season 2.
Okay. You sure you weren't one of the dead bodies? You do a very good, like, blank wooden stare.
Yeah,
you're
saying you're lifeless.
I am lifeless. No, I was actually a stand-in, so sucky thing of being a stand-in is you literally just stand there while they get, like, the, you know, lighting.
The back of your head is ridiculous.
Getting, like, the lighting and everything right. So it was one of the episodes where they were, the three kids were outside of a gas station asking for money for beer or asking for someone to buy them for beer or get beer for them. And I remember standing in for this Native American guy who had really dark black hair and my color of skin tone, but I was really light and little tiny me, and this guy was like a big butch kid. And I'm like, oh, well, I have to wear his jacket because they have to get the coloring right, and this jacket is consuming me, and I couldn't even hold it because it was so heavy, but it was really funny. I was standing there for like hours just like, okay, what do I do?
How much did they pay you?
I got paid like $200 and I was...
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I got paid like $200 and they also fed us. But it sucked because it was in the middle of winter, so it was fucking cold.
Are you legally allowed to tell us how much they paid you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if I told you how much I got paid hourly, but that was just a full check. So, I don't know.
That sounds way better than the cameo I ever did, so.
Oh, what's the cameo you did?
Okay, well, this is a funny story. So, I did a film study way back in, like, 2004, I think. You know, this is one of those summer camp things, like, hey, learn how to be a professional, just like the others. And,
okay.
Yeah, and so I went to Pepperdine University. And for those of you who don't know, Pepperdine University is where they shoot Zoey 101 from Nickelodeon.
I love Zoey 101.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah, so I was there during the summer when they were filming some of their episodes, and they apparently were out of extras for a certain scene. And so they came into my classroom and they're like, hey, do you guys want to be on TV? And so I am in an episode of Zoey 101. If you know, Leslie, assume that you've seen at least some of Zoey 101. Do you remember the one where they did the auction where they're like auction off students to help raise money for the sushi bar?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the crowd. I'm really? I'm in the background there with a big purple shirt and a backwards baseball cap.
Noted. I am totally going to look this up again. I love Zoey 101.
How old are you? You were like 25 when that show came out.
Yeah, I know.
I feel so young now. I was like 14 when that happened, so I'm just this young kid in the background there, just like...
I think you're a pedophile in
disguise. I am not. I'm a 27-year-old who loves watching Nickelodeon and Disney, and I grew up with that, so shut up.
The only thing that is good that ever come out of those shows is that all the actresses end up being major, major sluts when they get later in their career. So that's the only good thing that ever
You know what? I will say this, going on the show, and I didn't get to talk to Jamie Lynn Spears because... She was kind of a prima donna prissy miss on the show. But
well, she was too busy getting pregnant, that's why.
Well, yeah, this was right before that
happened. By Justin.
But the other actors who were on Zoey 101, super nice people. Like, what's her name? The nerdy girl Quinn in that one?
Oh, yeah, she was adorable.
Yeah, no, she sat in front of us, and she was just, like, the sweetest person. We had a nice chit-chat. And even the guy who played the bully, you know, rich dude character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I heard he had some, like, kind of drug problems later on in life kind of thing, but... He was super cool. Like, I had a chance to chat with him. He was a really, really nice guy. So, you know, sometimes they're cool people on those sets.
I haven't cameoed in anything.
Yeah, because you're ugly.
Aw.
Well, speaking of ugly, like, so I guess the back of my head was in our friend Danny Shepard. I don't know if anyone out there listens to Ismahawk YouTube channel. But I was in one of his... I've been in a bunch of his videos, way too many to the list. But... His biggest one, the back of my head is in. So, yeah. If you ever catch Nightwing the series on YouTube, the back of my head is, if I say so myself.
YouTube famous.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I will give you a hair follow-up. It might not be from my head.
Can we make you an Instagram just...
an Instagram account just with the back of my head.
TJ's head. Hashtag hair.
That'd be kind of cool. And then every week we shave something new into it. Like, you know...
It's like Hairstyle Runner from the old Homestar Runner cartoons, except absolutely.
Absolutely. I haven't been watching much lately, but actually, no. Oh my god. So, as per usual, my rant of the week. Shut your fucking mouth, okay? I just, like, 10 minutes ago finished watching the 5th season of Prison Break. Which is, I don't know if it's technically the 5th season or the...
Are you allowed to bring the fact up that you've watched Prison Break, like, are you allowed to bring that up again?
I only brought it up once. I brought it up this week that it came out, and I said, when it gets to the end, I'll give you my review. So we're at the end. Are you ready for my review?
No.
So is this the revival season, the new one?
This is the revival season, and it is ass-tastic. It is awful. And it's so disheartening because... I was a diehard fan of this show. Like, I loved it, dude. It was. Have you ever seen it, Justin?
No, I've only seen some scattered scenes from the first season, but I never jumped on the bandwagon. It's just like, it looks like an okay show.
The first season is genius. It's great. Like, I think I've said this before, so it's obviously about a guy that goes to prison and he breaks out. Prison Break. But, like, it's a good show. Like, the drama was there, the characters were fucking top-notch and awesome to watch, and it just got deeper and deeper and deeper, and then you just really wanted these guys to get out. And then it just got kind of silly after a while because the show never wanted to end or take anything seriously.
Well,
and it
well,
also
how do you do a show called Prison Break when they break out of prison in the first season? What else is there to do after that?
Well, there's them running. And then the thing is like, okay, so the cool part about the show was that, okay, so he goes to prison to break out of his brother. Okay, it's not a big deal.
Wait, right? To break out of his brother?
To break... Yeah, you got me, son of a bitch. So he goes to prison to break his brother out of prison, okay? But with that's the least interesting part about it. The most interesting part about it is all the people that they break out with them, because he can't do it alone, right? He's got to have a crew. And the other characters are so interesting, and they all have reasons why they're breaking out. They all have their own side story. So season two is just as good, because, yeah, they're not in prison anymore, but it focuses on all the other characters and all the things they want to accomplish while they're on the outside, while on the run, okay? And then season three and four happen, and we don't really talk about that, okay? And then this revival season is like, I know it's going to be stupid because it's been stupid, but I had no idea how stupid it was going to get. Like, there was one thing that I don't listen to this if you're afraid of spoilers, but I'm going to mildly spoil it. But, like, okay, so he's the main guy is presumably dead, right? But it's not a spoiler because in all the commercials they show that he's alive again. Okay? And they show that his wife, who thinks he's dead, has now since moved on and has a new husband. Okay? And I said to myself when I saw that in the commercial, please, for the love of God, do not make the wife's new husband be the bad guy. That is so fucking obvious. It's so fucking obvious. And guess what?
He's the bad guy.
Big shocker, he's the bad guy. That's stupid. I mean, I'm not one for, like, melodrama, but it would have been at least somewhat interesting if the new husband was just a dude and was kind of freaking out because the old husband is back. Like, that's kind of interesting, as opposed to he knew all along because he was the bad guy, and I wonder who the girl's gonna pick. Well, she's probably gonna pick the good guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have a lot of emphasis in my rant of the week this week, but it is bad, and it's just, I just don't understand creators who let their shit fall this hard. Like, when you create a show and it's your baby, don't you want to protect your baby and let it be the best it can be? Like, I feel like a lot of creators out there, especially in television, which is too bad because television is like replacing film in terms of, like, legitimacy these days, but you can't let your baby just be a piece of shit that's in the cereal aisle crying and you just like, oh, he's so cute. No, discipline
Everyone
that bitch.
Everyone else does it.
No,
well, yeah,
discipline
if we're in that
bitch.
Generation right now, people are like, you know, take whatever worked back in the day and make it work again. And it's just, it's a problem that not everything holds up, especially, when was the last season of Prison Break between this and that one? Like, how long a gap was there?
Oh, it was the year I graduated college, so 7 years? Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like 7 years. I mean, you don't just get inspiration suddenly, unless you have some burning idea in the back of your head, like, this is exactly what I want to do, but I never got the impression, seeing the promo stuff, that they really wanted to do this for, like, actual creative reasons. Just like, people like Prison Break, they watch the DVDs, they watch it on Netflix or streaming, wherever. Let's do it again. That's what I felt.
Yeah. I will stand by the first two seasons. If you like good television, watch season one and two and stop there. Season three and four, if you want to finish it out, it's fine, but you're not going to get the same type of feeling from it. But steer clear of this new shit. It is bad. And creators, nurture your baby. Discipline them into something good. Do not do this shit.
Well, on the flip side, at least Wentworth Miller can go back to The Flash. Just play Captain Cold again, buddy.
Well, that's what's funny, is I think that's kind of what struck up this whole thing to begin with, is because him and the other lead character in the show who plays Lincoln, Dominic Purcell, mm-hmm. they play brothers in that show too. And I think they had such good chemistry on that show that people started talking about, like, oh, well, why don't we get them back together on Prison Break again? Because they're so good as playing brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Leslie? What have you been up to?
I have been watching something stupid, like always.
What?
So on Netflix, I started watching The Untold Stories of the ER.
What is your... Why did I invite you to host this show with me?
I have no idea, but hey, you get my awkward and sad...
You're not even an intern. What are you doing here?
I have no fucking idea. So yeah, I've been watching The Untold Stories of the ER, which is now on Netflix, which is really cool. and I, like, binge-watched it.
You binge-watched the whole thing?
Oh, I'm on episode, like, 13 right now.
You have so many health problems. I bet you were watching it just to see if you were one
of those. If I was on it. There was actually... Okay, so I suffer from severe migraines, and it was actually pretty funny because there was an episode about migraines, and I was kind of excited, not going to lie.
We get it, you're famous, you don't have to keep telling us about all the cameos you were in, and all the shows you were on in the back of your head.
But I thought it was so interesting just because there was this one episode, right? So this takes me back from the time that I was living in Vegas because there was... this guy who actually drove his car into a chain link fence and got a huge ass fucking pole stuck inside of his head. And he was alive. He was texting apparently when he was in the emergency room and just trying to respond to people. I don't know if you remember that story, but I remember when I went to Vegas, that was all over the news. And they made an episode about it and I thought it was so interesting.
That's funny. You know that guy was just trying to get in touch with his wife or his ex-wife and be like, I still love you. And it was like, you could see where it said red, but they didn't respond. that kind of reminds me how Davey never responds to my text messages.
Damn it, Davey.
I know. You think he's so busy because he's a college kid. Well, you know what, Davey? Don't forget the little guys. Okay, Davey?
Yeah, I'm a college kid too, Davey. Come on. I have time. You have time.
I'm the college kid. No, I'm the college kid. I'm Spartacus.
I'm a master student, dang it.
Ooh. Too old.
All right, master. Well, welcome to the show, as per usual, streaming only on oneofus.net. Today, we are reviewing my voice because I can't get this fucking word out. Seriously. Reverb. Okay, so we are reviewing War Machine, which is streaming only on Netflix as per usual. We try to get some crackle in, but fuck crackle. It is directed by David McCode. I wonder what
Mashad, how do you pronounce that? Mashad McCode?
Mashad? I'm trying to see what all he's got. Not much.
He previously directed... his biggest thing is The Animal Kingdom that came out in 2010.
Okay,
If anyone saw that. And then he also did Hesher, and then he did The Rover recently, that one with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, how was that? I didn't see it. Is it good?
I haven't seen it either, but the stuff I've heard, that it was one of those like kind of interesting indie post-apocalypse kind of stories kind of thing.
Anything with Robert Pattinson is indie.
Pattinson, that he's not trying to do the whole big budget thing. Just like, no, I want to get some street cred or some art cred at least, you know, kind of thing.
I don't know if
I don't think it helps him.
I don't know if that's what he was trying to do or just people just didn't hire him. I mean, like, he was in one or two big budget movies outside of Twilight and they didn't do too well. So
I mean, like, he did Lost City of Z recently and he was actually pretty good in that one. So
was he?
Yeah.
I still remember him as that. He was in my least favorite Harry Potter movie.
See, that's funny because that's one of my favorite Harry Potter movies.
It is your favorite Harry Potter movie?
It's not my favorite, but it's in my top three. So.
Oh, really? What are your top three?
Both the Sevens and then Four. Those are my top three. So.
Okay. Both the Sevens. That's strong words. Not a lot of people dig the first Seven.
And they're wrong, but you know.
I have to hate the first Harry Potter Part 7 just because they took out the scene with Dudley and Harry making amends. The fact that they left that out is a fucking crime against Harry Potter.
But okay, seriously, who cares about Dudley? No one cares about the little turd.
Hey, but his arc is a big arc.
Yeah.
Anyway,
back to what we were reviewing.
Sorry about
guys.
That. Sorry, Leslie. I had to nerd out for a minute. Back to War Machine. So basically, War Machine is a sort of true story. I was reading up on the true story online, and it doesn't seem like it's too far away from what happened, but it was also pretty vague. And I think that's, right off the bat, the movie itself is sort of vague in what's going on. The story is that Brad Pitt plays General Glenn McMahon. I don't know why they call it McMahon, because it's spelled McHone. But he plays General Glenn McHone, and he's sort of like a no-nonsense general war guy cliche, at the same time being sort of like a happy-go-lucky, like, everybody on my team is family, you know? We're our close-knit group, and we are going to go to Iraq. I'm sorry, not Iraq. This is set 10 years ago-ish. We're going to Afghanistan, and we are going to end the war. And that in itself is sort of an inside struggle, because he himself is a war general. So as much as he's hired to end the war and says he's going to end the war, he himself is not exactly prone to ending a war. He is a war guy. And the whole story is basically him trying to set his plan into motion as he tries to get approvals from the higher up, from the president, from even the president of Afghanistan, so that he can be the hero and be the guy that everyone throws a parade for on Veterans Day. Is that a good rundown?
Yeah,
that covers the basics.
Yeah, and it's at first I think I saw the trailer of this, and I talked about it with Chris Cox on the Breakfast Pub. My God. I'm sorry, guys. So it is kind of fitting that I am reviewing it now. But I remember thinking...
Right. You were on that episode.
I remember thinking now, I don't really remember that trailer, because I must have not had a lot happen in the trailer. And now watching the movie, not a lot happens in the movie either. It's kind... I can't say anything bad about it right from the get-go. I'm going to say there's nothing wrong with it.
You know, it's the thing with this movie is that it's billed as a satire of war, but... It's weird. It seems like it's not really clear on what comedy is. Because, I mean, I guess when you think satire, you think, like, you know, Dr. Strangelove. You think, you know, those classic war satire films.
Sure.
And the problem here is that it tries to do that, but then it starts to just go back to being a serious war drama. And then it makes it even more awkward when they try to be funny, because the jokes aren't very funny in it.
But I heard that Brad Pitt is the one that added the comedy aspect of it. So let's just blame him.
He had to. And wasn't this the most... And we'll get to this later, but wasn't this the most expensive Netflix movie so far?
Acquired it for like $30 million from the original.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, the thing is, you can say about this movie is that it is like professionally made for being
a small
definitely.
Film.
There's
nothing subpar about it.
It's shot well kind of thing overall, so it looks pretty professional.
Right. I feel like a lot of Netflix shows, you know, they all look legit. Like, they're shot with a Red or something, but they still kind of have, like, a shaky cam sort of quality, like you don't have the best PGA on set. This feels like I could see it in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's got the budget there, and it's got the acting and the writing. You said that a lot of the humor wasn't funny. I kind of disagree. Especially in the beginning, I thought the humor was pretty solid. I was, like I was getting at, is I don't remember seeing the trailer of this, so I was kind of worried watching this, because I was afraid it was going to be another boring war drama. And right off the bat, it's kind of funny, and I was pleasantly surprised in the beginning.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I don't know. For me, personally, it was just the issue that, with the humor stuff, they're trying to make a point throughout this whole movie, because basically the idea, like, as he was saying... Brad Pitt's brought in to try and win over the people. Like, he's the guy who believes in counterinsurgency to try and say, hey, look, people see us as invaders in this country, so we need to go in there, win the hearts and minds, convince people that we're here not to invade them or conquer them, but we're here to help protect them from the bad guys.
A great idea, in theory.
Exactly, and that's the problem, then, is that he's realizing that the efforts to do counterinsurgency is actually a lot tougher when... One, like you said, he's a war guy. What he knows how to do is fight. He's not really a diplomat, and he clearly has his own agenda for how to accomplish that that doesn't really go with the flow for most people. But then two, when not only are you having trouble with the other people that you're occupying, you know, because people are like, yeah, we don't want you here, we don't like you guys kind of thing, but your own team is making it hard to do that because he's got all the soldiers who are, you know, cussing up a storm around these people. They're not being respectful. They... don't really like the people that they're, you know, hanging out with. Like,
yeah, they're also very young, so at the same time, too, they're trying to just, you know, get in and out and not worry about anybody else. So he's just trying to deal with that.
They're very stereotypical jarheads.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that about it, because it seems, I mean, I've never been in the military, but, you know, it seems, my dad was a military baby junkie, so he, he would love this sort of thing. He would say, he would tell me that this is a pretty accurate description of what these type of people are. Not war itself, because he was never in a war, but just the type of personalities you meet on a base. What?
Nothing.
Why are you giving me a fucking look, man? What are you going to say? I'm sorry I wasn't a jarhead. I'm sorry I didn't join the military. What do you want from me? I still love my country. Damn it.
Damn it.
So you said you didn't like the humor there? Either of you?
Well, I mean, I know I said I didn't. Leslie, what do you think about the humor in this?
I mean, I thought it was funny in like TJ said, the beginning part of it. But, I mean, I read on the part that Brad Pitt added his own little flair to it, so...
But wouldn't you? I mean, the story itself is not something I would... I don't think anybody who truly cares about this. Even the true story is something I never heard of
then
before.
Then why spend $30,000 for a movie that no one's going to care about? Sorry, $30 million.
You know why? Because it's an actor's movie. It is a chance for Brad Pitt to showcase and
that
not
he's
be...
getting old. Showcase that he's getting old and that's it.
The big reason they did this, because it's a topical movie about the whole thing, like, oh yeah, now that we have enough years behind us with all the, you know, major parts of these conflicts, we can go and like, oh, well, maybe this stuff didn't work very well, this is kind of, you know, very topical, the political messages kind of thing, but it feels like it's trying to capture everything. Like, it's not just the war, but it's also how our relationship with European allies, our relationship with the way we handle soldiers. It tries to actually do a war scene, you know, later in the movie too, which...
Right.
Kind of felt out of place for a movie
it
that really
absolutely isn't. Did because it feels like if you were to tell me what this movie was about, I would assume that there's a bunch of war scenes, but actually watching it play out, it doesn't fit organically.
There's so much trying to happen in this movie that you don't know where it's going, and
no,
it was so confusing because at the beginning I was like, okay, you spent this long talking about getting troops out there, and then you get kind of heartfelt towards the group that he decides to take on, the Sasquatch kids, or whatever they're called.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, so you think that it's going to be about him, you know, becoming family with them.
Yeah, I kind of felt that too for a minute there. It seemed like it was going to be Gridiron Gang, sort of. Like, he's going to be their coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like the Longest Yard, you know? That's what I thought it was leading into. And then all of a sudden it switched to something else again, and then something else. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what happened at the end, because at that point I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like because it's a huge ensemble, too, that you don't know, outside of Brad Pitt, you don't know where to put your emotions. Because, yeah, we spend time with the Sasquatch kids, and I almost feel like the movie would have been better had it focused on them.
Yeah.
But then we have Brad Pitt's team, where...
Oh, we have, you know, that movie. There's so many movies exactly like that.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's what I'm saying.
Like,
the
unit.
Yeah, even the people who work with Brad Pitt, all his, like, you know, his goons and that stuff, they're good actors. You know, it's a who's who of people who have worked with Brad Pitt.
Well, it's a great cast. The acting is great.
Yeah, but then it's like, I don't really know any of their names. I don't know any of their personalities. They're all just kind of, they all just kind of blend together at some point. So, we don't spend enough time with anybody to really care what's happening one way or the other.
I don't know if that's true. I don't feel that way at all, because I could tell you there was the fat, angry general.
There was like five of them.
No,
there
was one that swore a lot specifically. That was his thing. And then there was the kid.
It's Anthony Michael Hall, wasn't it, in that one?
Oh my God, that was Anthony Michael Hall?
I think so. I want to say it was him, but yeah, because yeah, and I was thinking
oh
to me too.
Is that
his,
God,
all of his
it
scenes
is
are,
him.
Yeah, he just yells and swears at people. That's his only role in this whole movie.
Wow, what happened to him? I mean, I'm glad he's getting work still, but he's just he did not grow up to be the person you thought he was going to be. But I mean, besides him, you got Topher Grace as like the sort of analyst guy, and he's kind of the smart ass, and then you got the young black kid that's good with technology that completely does everything Brad Pitt tells him, but not in like a his lackey sort of way, but sort of like him and Brad Pitt are in sync in terms of how they're gonna fuck with people.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's a great cast, but earlier, Justin, you mentioned that, you know, it's got so much going on that it doesn't really say nothing. One of you said that, but anyway. It kind of It tries to have a point, but I don't know what the point is. I don't know if it's pro-war or it's against war. I don't know if it's pro-counter-insurgents or if it's pro-insurgents. Like, I don't know what it's trying to...
Pro-Rolling Stones or not.
Right. Like, Rolling Stones or Beatles. I have no idea what this movie would choose.
It feels like it's overall anti-war, but it's not clear on what part of war, because it's trying to criticize everything. It's criticizing the soldiers, it's criticizing the general, it's criticizing the policies... To the point where I'm like, well, then what's the answer? And the answer is nothing, because then the movie ends, and it's like, okay, and then it starts all over again.
Right, so, it's pretty vague in the ending, too. I mean, I'm not going to get into spoilers, but it doesn't say... It ends with Brad Pitt's... Presumably something big is going to happen in his career. But it doesn't... And you assume it's one thing, but it never actually shows it. I mean, it doesn't...
Also, audience, you can probably guess it. Just think really hard. You'll probably figure out what the ending is.
Just Google it.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's in the history books. But my point being, like, it's just vague in the way it ends. Like, it builds up to this huge conflict, and then it ultimately does just kind of, like, peters out.
It just fades away. There's...
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I just realized that was the ending. I was, like, trying to think so hard of
how
what
did it
the
end?
Wedding was.
Oh, wait, it didn't end.
It didn't end, exactly.
Which I guess that was intentional, too, but even then, it kind of undermines that point when it goes to the final, like, here's that last laugh to make it all, you know, lighthearted again, and then it's just like, well, that was kind of pointless.
Well, yeah, if they spend another $30 million, though, on another one, that's going to be stupid.
It kind of did feel like it was setting up for, like, hey, we're going to do a couple of these, and they're all going to feature a different general, and won't
just
it be
like
funny?
13 Reasons Why.
No, and I get that point. Like, I get that was the whole point of the story was that thing, like, I mean, again, not spoiling, but just this never-ending cycle of conflict. Because that was a thing that was constantly being told throughout the story. Like, you know, the instant Brad Pitt solves one problem, then another problem comes up. The instant they solve that problem, then another problem comes up. But it then also just feels like it's spinning its wheels that way. Because it's like, well, if nothing gets solved, and you're not offering any answers, movie, then why am I spending time talking about something that'd be summed up in maybe a byline, you know?
It is very long. It's 2 hours and 6 minutes, something like that. But
way too long.
It's such a simple story, and I feel like the only reason I can think anyone had any interest in doing this is just because it's an actor's piece. It had time to showcase Brad Pitt, you know, and his doing his thing. And I appreciate his performance, and I appreciated all the other performances. Tilda Swinton has a cameo for about 5 minutes, and she's pretty good in her role.
Okay, yeah, that's weird, too. They have a rotating list of, like, big-name actors just showing up for small scenes. Like, yeah, Tilda Swinton, Ben Kingsley, John Goodman, a whole bunch of people just pop up, and then they're done. So
was that, like, John Goodman at the end?
I looked like it. I think that's who it was.
It can't be John Goodman. John Goodman's huge these days. He's one of those dudes that's like, he goes up and down in his weight. But last time I saw him, he was pretty big.
Oh, no, last time I saw him, he actually lost a bit. So, yeah, no, I don't know what his weight is. He's just like...
Well, but, yeah, I mean, the acting is good. And I think that's... Because it's not that interesting of a story. And it's still... I want to say it's still relevant just because in the beginning of this review, I accidentally said Iraq instead of Afghanistan because it still feels like we're in this war. So I can see that it's them trying to make a point of maybe we need to get out of this war. Maybe we shouldn't get out of this war. Maybe we need to just end it. So it has some sense of timing and legitimacy in today's society. I just wish it had more I just wish it was a little bit more interesting. Just a little bit. What do you guys think?
TJ just, like, spit all over me.
Well, I gotta spit on you to keep you on your toes.
Okay, well, while you take that spit take, you know, I wish I had more to say that was either pro or negative, but I just left this movie feeling very blah. It's like, it's not awful. It's not badly done, per se, but it's also not anything you need to see. I did say it is well made overall with, like, shooting and that stuff.
Yeah.
I found that there were some stylistic choices with editing and music that didn't really work either. Like, this movie has some weird scenes where we'll just jump cut to different scene transitions when the scene didn't really end. It was just over for some reason. And it's like, okay, so now we're, you know, after this huge dramatic thing, then something's like, funny cut! You know, just like, okay.
I think a lot of that has to do with just the fact that it has such an all-star cast, and even though it starts out being just about Brad Pitt, it kind of leaps off sometimes to go into his lackeys' side stories.
Well, yeah, but and even the fact that there's a narrator throughout the beginning, like a majority of this movie, and we don't even meet that narrator character until the very middle of the movie, and then he never shows up again for the rest of the film.
It like, doesn't fit. I don't know why it was narrated. It doesn't. I remember back in film school, it was kind of like a faux pas, like, don't have a narrator in your script. It's too obvious. It's showing. It's telling, not showing. And it just, there's no reason for it here. I can't imagine it, I would feel any different about it if the narrator wasn't involved.
Yeah, no, because nothing he says really, like, his thing is there for being the commentary, because he literally spells out stuff in the movie for you, just like, this is what we're talking about right here, here's everything you need to know. But then again, it's that thing, again, it's like, it's offering points, but it's not offering answers. And, you know, I guess it's just an excuse to get Scoot McNairy work, because he's, you know, a good actor kind of thing, but it just, like you said, if they had cut it out and had some other way to tell you that Brad Pitt is this super awesome general, like they did at the beginning of this movie, we wouldn't have needed a narrator.
I think they did that, though. The way he handles his crew, his troop, I'm sorry. I'm not good with
his goof with troop.
Army lingo, but his troop, right? So it's about him and his group of guys. And I mean, I think they showed that he's a good general. He's always a stand-up guy for his men. Mm-hmm. He leads them very well. He trains himself. Like, they show very well that he is deserving of this position, regardless of his ideals and whether or not they're going to play out.
Yeah, no, he's kind of a super soldier. Like, they tell you, just like, yeah, he only sleeps for a few hours, he exercises every day, he's respectful.
Those running things, though. Oh my god. Yeah. The way that he runs in the movie is so funny.
Well, Brad Pitt's getting old. I mean, he can't probably jog like he used to, but
I don't think that's it. Someone told me that there's like a new way of running, and it's supposed to be like where you're supposed to land on your heel instead of your toes or something like that. And it seems like that's something they would try and put in into the army so that people can train better. And it just looked like you look funny when you do it. And he just looked funny when he was running. But I mean, he looked like he accidentally shit his pants.
Yep.
And it was a whole piece, and it was dangling at the bottom of his underwear, and he just didn't want it to rub on his leg. So he had to run in a fashion where his leg he's completely spread eagle.
Like a squat run.
Like a squat run, and his arms are at his sides.
Because he has to hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this review really needs those poop jokes, so.
Hey, we aren't that mature. We said that episode one.
Yeah, okay. This is what I signed up for.
This is your legacy, man. You start to see, this is what it all came to. You started sending Chris news and...
News?
And see, again, mature.
Whoa. My relationship with Chris Cox is not that intimate, my friend.
I don't know, man. None of us got that close to him that quick.
Yeah. Plus, nobody wants to see me naked, so I'm just saying.
Well, anyway. But I did. It's funny. I feel like this is two movies in one. I'm trying to be a stand-up guy here, you guys.
It feels like it's like four, almost, I would argue.
Yeah. It does. It's got a lot of different stories, and I feel like all of them might be interesting by themselves, but they don't gel.
I feel like the story with that Pat dude, the one that he kept cussing out, the one that was in the airplane, like, I feel like that's
Brad
a whole
Pitt...
completely
separate. What is his name? Alan Ruck's character?
Alan Ruck. I still remember him as the dumb tourist from Speed.
Oh, I always remember him as Ferris Bueller's friend from Ferris Bueller Day Off. But,
Yeah.
You know, I would say that, like, that was actually one of my favorite scenes. Well, both of the scenes were some of my favorite scenes in the movie, because those are the ones where it's like, yeah, these two actors really work well together. And if this was a movie about them, like,
their relationship... But it never said what their relationship was. Like, obviously they hate each other, but it never says why or dwells into it or goes further. It was strange.
Yeah, I feel like there was just so much to be told, but they didn't have enough time to tell it.
Right,
because
they're too busy showcasing...
the relationship of them yelling at each other, and that's it.
Yeah, because instead we get a bunch of scenes of them getting drunk on a tour bus with a Japanese logo on it, and then a bunch of other pointless scenes.
That was funny, though. And that scene was sort of relevant to the story, because it kind of what brings the conclusion. In the end, I didn't see why it was such a big deal.
No.
But that's just me. I don't know. But, yeah, see, that was another story. That was in
within a story again.
Right. So in one of the four movies that this movie is about, there's this other scene where they're sort of doing, like, a press tour, so to speak, and Brad Pitt and his team are making buddies with foreign relations. And it, you know, it seemed like it could have been a funny, like, R&R story, and, you know, kind of show you the funny side of the so serious gruffness of the military.
The real life side of them.
Right.
Because yeah.
They haven't had a drink in, like, ever because they're too busy being soldiers. So.
Right. And instead it just kind of gets dwindled down to a couple of scenes. And ultimately, I mean, I don't want to say it goes nowhere because it greatly affects the end of the story, but it doesn't.
I don't think it should have been that big of a deal.
No, it feels like it was an excessive part of, like, what the main theme is. And honestly, if you want stories about soldiers unwinding and stuff that maybe is, you know, uncouth behavior, just watch The Hurt Locker again. Because that stuff does it better and more honest in its portrayal than this one is just there just to be, you know, a humorous aside. It's filler. Then suddenly it's like, oh, but you didn't realize that was important this whole time.
Yeah.
It felt cheap. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then there's a side story with his wife, it's kind of...
Poor Meg Tilly.
Yeah, it's kind of melodramatic, and I actually got a lot of humor from those scenes, because it just shows how he's so charismatic with his troops, but he has no connection with his wife, and not in, like, a depressing, they're gonna break up sort of way, and just sort of, like, it's funny how he's just kind of distant with her. Like, he doesn't try not to be, he just doesn't know how to talk to her.
Fan would talk to Brad Pitt, just like, yeah, you got this very average person, then you got a movie star for a husband, so.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. But, I mean, ultimately, I don't know if we want to get into final thoughts, but I really did like it. I think it's a very good vehicle for Brad Pitt to just show off his charisma. And, you know, he's always been a charismatic guy. But to me, Brad Pitt has always been a name and a face. You know Brad Pitt. You know that he was, you know, he's married Jennifer Aniston. He's married Angelina Jolie. He's always been in the media as just a good-looking dude. And there's not been a lot of chances. There have been some, but there hasn't been a lot of chances where he's gotten to show off his personality, where he's actually got to have fun with the role. And I saw it here. I did enjoy watching him. And I liked his charisma with the other, his team. I didn't care for the fact that it was just so scattershot in terms of stories. You know, there's the third act gets into a war scene that we mentioned, and it seems like that itself could have been another great movie. It could have been the Zero Dark Thirty of this year, but it's so short and glossed over that it just ultimately doesn't feel like it has the kick that it should.
Yeah, it feels really underwhelming, because they sell you on this whole thing, like, he really needs all these soldiers to launch this huge offensive kind of thing, and we only see, like, 10 people taking on two other terrorists, so it's just like, okay, well, that was mildly amusing.
Right, and ultimately a little depressing. I mean, it's a war movie, so it's not going to end well.
Yeah, that was the point of that scene, but again, it's like, it felt like after all that build-up, we should have gotten more. Like, it should have been more part of the story than what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because I don't have anything to say that I disliked about it, and I generally did like it, I just wish it was a little bit... It needed a good 20 minutes shaved off. That's what I think. And ultimately, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 Nazi skulls, and I want my skulls.
Scalps. No,
scalps. Oh, shit. I fucked it up.
When Brad Pitt does his scalping, he's got to do it properly, because Brad Pitt, he gets what he wants.
Leslie?
I guess I'm going to kind of fall into the same, you know, guidelines that you talked about. I hated the fact that it didn't have just one story, but, like, 16 million. It was shot very well, though. I was very thrilled about how everything was not shitty. You know, like, especially with, like, the armored vehicles and the uniforms and stuff like that. Like, you could just tell they had the budget for it, and I really, really liked that.
I think they definitely took the time to be if it wasn't made by people that were in the military, they definitely had writers go and be
and do research on what they were actually looking at or looking.
It felt like you were living in an army base.
Yeah, so I really, really like that. I like Brad Pitt no matter what, even though like his gray hairs changed colors every scene in this movie. But his hair changed colors. Like
him and his best friend George Clooney. Like George Clooney looks better as he gets older and peppered hair. I'm not so much Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt looked a little swollen throughout the whole entire movie too. I know he was like puffing his cheeks so he could do his little army voice, but he just looked a little swollen. Maybe he should like cut off the salt or something like that. But as a whole though, I didn't enjoy spending 2 hours and whatever minutes not understanding why I'm watching this. But, I mean, it's a very good movie to wash dishes and vacuum to, so I'm going to give it a 6.8 gray hairs that change colors on Brad Pitt's head when he makes his puffy face.
Anybody who has a grandfather that's in the military, let your grandfather watch this, because he will love it.
Yeah.
That's my thesis.
Don't watch it with him.
Justin.
Well, I just gotta say that when you're watching a movie like this and you want something smart and compelling and really about the intimacies of warfare, you're probably better off watching Hurt Locker again. But, you know, honestly, it's one of those movies, again, it's just, it feels like those movies that were just, you know, coming out, like, at the beginning of the Iraq War and the Afghanistan conflict, because it's like, yeah, they're trying to make statements on things that are still current and topical, but it doesn't have an opinion on how to actually do it differently. You know, it's like Stop Loss, if you remember that from back in the day, or In the Valley of Elah. Mm-hmm. It's just, it feels like it just doesn't know what it wants to do. And the fact that it has such a huge cast, it's a problem I have with a lot of movies that I think people can see them almost as TV shows because they have so many ideas they want to cover. But then it's like, oh, we only got 2 hours. So
only.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. Only. It's still too long. But it felt like they should have just stuck with one story. You know, either stick with a Sasquatch troop or whatever.
Right.
Or stick with the whole promoting the war kind of thing. Because that could have been interesting. The idea of, like, how do you lobby people to help your cause in warfare? You know, like getting the Europeans on your side to make sure the president pays attention to you.
Right.
Because if that movie had stayed that way, I would have thought, like, oh, yeah, it's a clever, like, military drama. It's not a war film. It's just a film about how the military functions kind of thing.
Right. And it would have been a different take on the military.
Yeah, and as it is, it's just kind of a malnourished film. It's not awful. It's not bad. But it feels just kind of misguided. And I guess, and also it's the problem, too, that it is made by Brad Pitt's company, Plan B. So, obviously, he had a lot of say over whatever the movie gets to do because he's the lead actor and he's fronting the bill for it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that just kind of came across, that all the improvising, all the attempts at humor, and again, I just didn't find this film very funny. That was just my biggest complaint about it, too, where it tried so hard to be the whole goofy, like, oh, hey, we don't know how computers work, so I'm gonna press these buttons here, and then burp, 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 burp. Oh, no, the signal's all faded, or burp. And those scenes just never seemed to work at all, and it felt like the movie only worked whenever it was actually, like, really focused on making a point. Like, especially, I don't know who this actor is, this one black soldier who was in the Sasquatch group with Will Poulter. Mm-hmm. You know, that guy has this big dramatic sequence where he talks about how it's like, yeah, you know, I really just don't like these people. I don't like this war. I don't like anything I'm doing here kind of thing. I hate everything about it kind of stuff. And that scene was kind of powerful in its own way. And you almost feel like, wow, where did this come from? Because nothing else in the movie has matched that in terms of emotional quality.
Right. And if that scene and that final war climax scene had been in their own separate movie, it would have been a great movie.
Yeah. No, I would have watched that film. And as it is, it's just, it's kind of like Leslie said, you just watch this while you're doing other stuff, which is kind of what I did. I'm like, okay, I'm taking the notes that I need to, but then I'm just going to write my emails and check the time kind of thing. So I'm going to give it, I'm actually going to be a little lower than Leslie. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 debates on either getting Brad Pitt or Lady Gaga on Rolling Stone's cover.
Gaga all the way. Well, I just got a text from Davey, and the mere fact he said, okay, sorry I wasn't on the show today, but I had nothing other than to say other than bored disdain. And I think that it pretty much sums it up. It's just, it's kind of boring. And the fact that he purposely avoided recording this show because he has such bored disdain. It's kind of like, well, okay, I don't blame you, sir. I don't blame you. Anyway, we're not getting into spoilers this episode. There's really not much to talk about. But we will be back another episode next week. I think we are reviewing F is for Family Season 2. Does that sound right?
Sure, why not? Right.
Yeah. So we will be back, maybe with Justin, maybe with another guest intern, or maybe we can finally get Davey to show up and do his motherfucking job. Anyway, thanks for joining us as per usual. Justin, do you have anything to plug, man? Do you got a Twitter? Are you all about the tweets?
I'm not all about the tweets. I do have a Twitter thing, though, so you can find me at JJZGamer. But most of the time, you can find me on Facebook at, you know, Justin Zarian. I do write the notes for the Breakfast Pub, so subscribe and listen to Chris Cox and all of his guests just, you know, talk about whatever's going on the week for movies, trailers, you know, TV news and that such. I occasionally do reviews where we are error and a few other things. And just recently, I'm starting up some stuff with some friends at the Ultimate Geek Out, Unapologetic Geek Out podcast, UGO. Mm-hmm. And we're starting a new segment that'll probably be up within the next week. We're starting a Netflix and Kill, talking about shows on Netflix. I mean, yeah, shows and movies on Netflix with violence in them. So
that sounds oddly that sounds sort of familiar there.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, so be on the lookout for that in the next week. It's a lot of fun. So
don't steal my shtick. So that new show, is that going to be on one of us as well?
No, this will be through the UGO podcast. So if you look it up, okay. Unapologetic Geek Out, it's on iTunes and it's also got its own separate webpage. So
cool.
Very cool. Leslie? Yeah.
I don't do anything. I don't like people and I always say this, but if you really want to follow me
and find and match the squeak to the face.
Yeah, match the squeak to the face. You can find me on Instagram, look so pretty, LOOKSOPRETTY. I'm also slowly opening up an Etsy shop to sell random things because I'm random and don't like things. Postmortem Elegance is going to be my shop, but, yeah, that's...
You're sort of having, like, a slow...
Oh, I have a slow opening on that thing. I have, like, two things listed. Not too exciting yet, so, yeah. Hit me up on, that Instagram, yo.
And you can find me on Twitter, TJ Calls Bullshit. I actually have sent out my first tweet. So, you know, if you tweet it, they will come.
If you tweet it, they will twat.
I think that's
you can also, that, they might not always twat. That's the problem.
We're just not going to touch that. So
you get the promise of a twat, and it turns out just to be a...
Hurry up and tweet your shit.
You can also find me on Facebook at Mr.Hooker711. And you can find me and Justin's work, both editing and writing, on oneofus.net, the wonderful show that is happy to sponsor our little intern.cast show. We will be back next week. And please subscribe to oneofus.net. It is awesome. We have tons of new articles every week, sometimes every day. And we keep geek cool. So thank you, Justin, for joining us. Leslie, thank you for being as
awkward as
possible. Yes, yes, you excel at it. You should be an intern on the show, on one of us, because you fit in pretty well with all of our own awkwardness and insecurities. But thanks for joining us, guys.
One of us.
Google gobble, Google gobble. Thanks for joining us, guys, and you all have...
Bubbles, bye, bubbles.
What?
What?
Sorry, that just reminded me of...
That has nothing to do with Nemo.
It reminded me of it.
Oh, God. Boy. Just fuck it. I quit. End the show. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Deuces.
We out.